This is a production of JetBlip.com. Special thanks to USJet AA and Claire for their support.
Hello, and welcome to the Jetosphere Podcast, the podcast about things related to the Jet alumni community, broadly defined. I'm your host, Samantha Lastris, and I was a Jet in Tokyo from 2017 to 2021. This is the second installment in our new segment, the Mothra Storytelling Hour, where Jet alumni submit their personal stories relating to our chosen theme. We're back after a sort of brief hiatus. I actually just relocated to Los Angeles, so I've been busy with that, but really looking forward to connecting with any Southern California Jet alumni, so do reach out if that's you. This time, our theme is success. And if you tuned in last time, you'll remember our previous episode was mistake. So I think this topic will be a good counterpart. I also like this theme of success because it truly means something different to everyone. So our submitted stories are quite varied and interesting. I'll begin our stories of success with one that was submitted for dramatic reading by Laura Egan, a Jet in Kesennuma, Miyagi from 2015 to 2018. It's actually two stories, so let's get to it. While there were many single moments that felt like successes during my time as an ALT, two stories are coming to mind on the theme of success. The first was a success at school. I worked at elementary schools, and every so often, teachers that specialize in one subject area all gather together at one school to observe a lesson and do professional development. This was my third year on the program, and it just so happened that my favorite JTE had been assigned that year to one of my favorite classes of students, and she was doing an observation for English class. And it was the perfect time on the calendar for one of my favorite lessons of the year. In the Hi Friends curriculum, sixth grade did a lesson on sports and can. And for the introductory lesson to the unit, when we worked on solidifying the sports vocabulary, I liked to play a modified version of a game I know as Time's Up, but is also commonly known as Fishbowl. We'd split the class into teams, then bring each team up to the front of the classroom one at a time. One teacher would hold up a flashcard between the heads of three or four of the students, and one of the students would be opposite from them where they could see the card and act out the sport. When the sport was guessed, they'd rotate actors, and each team would have 60 seconds to name as many sports as they could. It was always a really fun time. In this case, my biggest success was that not only did the lesson go well, I was allowed to participate in the professional development session afterwards with my JTE and express how I thought the lesson went and get feedback from other teachers. It really gave me a sense of a job well done. The second story happened outside of school and is really a story of success out of failure. Two friends and I were taking a road trip from Miyagi up to Aomori, and we had been planning on staying with a friend there for two nights. But it turned out they were only able to host us for the second night. We spent most of the four-hour drive north frantically trying to find a place to stay anywhere in the vicinity. As luck would have it, we found a cheap place to stay, along with it a really cool destination in Towada, Aomori. Not only was there a fireworks festival over the lake the night we stayed, but we learned from a fellow guest at the hostel about a spot called Hotoke Gaura, up near where we were heading on the Tsugaru Peninsula, and it's one of the cooler places I traveled to during my time in Japan. We had only been planning to visit Osore-san on that trip, but we ended up finding a lot more than we bargained for. I ended up taking my mom up to Lake Towada when she came to visit later, so it was definitely an unforeseen success of a travel story. Thank you, Laura, for submitting. These two different stories are a great way to start as they give us a preview of what's to come. Success in many different forms. So I'll go ahead and play the recorded submissions from your fellow Jet alumni now. Enjoy!
My name is Sarah Coomber, and I was an ALT in rural Yamaguchi-ken from 1994 to 1996. My story of success involves a lesson plan that went really well. And it's actually from the memoir I wrote from that time of my life called The Same Moon. It was published by Camphor Press in 2020. So here it is. One Wednesday morning that winter, we woke to the glorious sight of Shuhocho, sculpted white, snow still falling in great fluffy blossoms called Botanyuki, peony snow. For once, it did not melt after breakfast. I walked to nearby Kama Shogako and saw the children on the playground, most wearing their uniforms of shorts and short-sleeved shirts, some with a jacket or sweater, some with pants, most seemingly oblivious to the cold. They were building the Japanese version of snowmen, Yuki, or snow, Daruma, modeled after the little dolls that represent Bodhidharma, the founder of Zen Buddhism, which are sold with both eyes blank white, one eye to be blackened when a goal is set and the other to be inked in when the goal is achieved. So this day, the principal gave me free rein. He asked me to plan and teach on my own. So for this visit, seeing that the day was going to be a snowy one, I focused on weather words. I brought props, a paper sun, a paper snowflake, my umbrella, and, a little strangely, a gorilla. It was a Christmas gift from a junior high school student. And for this occasion, I named the gorilla Cloudy. I had run out of time to make paper clouds. So I went into the sixth grade classroom and the teacher sat back as I introduced weather vocabulary and began to ask the children questions like, how's the weather? I grabbed my umbrella. It's rainy, they shouted. I held up the paper sun. It's sunny. It's snowy. It's cloudy. They got it. They loved it. And they cheered for Cloudy the gorilla. I must have begun waxing on about Minnesota's glorious snowfalls, reminiscing about making snow angels and playing fox and geese, a game that we set up by shuffling through the snow to create giant wheels in whose spokes my friends and I would play tag when we were primary schoolers. Their teacher suddenly asked, "Do you want to show the children?" We all made a quick dash for the classroom door, down the stairs and out the front entrance into the snow. My charges, most wearing short pants and gym shoes, shuffled out fox and geese wheels and chased each other around the spokes. Others lay down, bare skin in the snow, moving their arms and legs in giant arcs to make snow angels. Everyone wet, everyone laughing.
Good morning. The time is 10:41 a.m. and I'm just making a recording. I just saw this post on Jet Program Memes about the theme of success. And yeah, I don't know. I have so many stories, I guess. So I'm going to try and be concise and tell a story to, I guess, Steven or Samantha, whoever's going to be listening to this. But yeah. Hi, I'm Antania, or Shay. I live in Hyogo, and this is my third year on JET. I think success is different for everyone. It's, you know, various definitions, various ways of determining how you feel successful. For me, I came here basically, you know, just in this 48-year-old tatami hut in the middle of the countryside in Tajima. There's no Japanese technology toilet. I had to hand crank for hot water for my bathtub. I only had a bicycle. It was definitely, it felt like, I don't know, modern day struggle in the beginning. Settling in here, moving away from all of my friends and family in Canada. I was on the wait list, so I only had about 1 month to prepare for my departure. It was really, really hectic, but now I'm sitting in like my same tatami hut, and this is like a place that I'm pretty proud to call home. I've got a piano in here, I've got a desk space set up. I've got a lot of inspirational photos and things that keep me forward all over the walls. And yeah, about that bicycle, the first year, on Jet, I think, in May. So I came in 2019, and that was right when Corona started. So it was pretty hard to travel or do anything, but there's things that I am pretty grateful for because I was able to save a lot. And I ended up saving in my first year, and I bought my dream car, which is a Nissan Fairlady Z, or 350Z, as it's called overseas. And yeah, I bought that in August of my first year. That was one of my goals. I then went on to pass the M3 in December, and then last year I passed the Kanji Kente level 6 and 7, and then the N2 in December, and I've just signed up for another Kanji Kente this summer. So yeah, I don't know how to define success. Maybe for some people it's like saving that amount, buying this dream sports car, doing car mods, passing exams. Like, for me, success is merely just having an idea, turning it into a goal, putting action, and then following through until it comes real, and then just repeating that process over and over until you get closer to what your idea of success looks like to you. And yeah, I feel like I'm still far from that. But since you're looking for stories, I wanted to share that tidbit. There's lots more on my website, the blog that I've been keeping since coming to Japan, so I'll include a link to that. You can feel free to use any of that, or yeah, let me know if there's anything else I can share. I hope you guys have a great weekend and enjoy the rest of your days. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Scott Maupin. I was a Jet in Hokkaido from 2005 to 2009, and this is my story on the theme of success. So while I was on Jet, I got into watching UFC, and then I got into wanting to train MMA as well. So I found a place in Asakawa that had a gym, and I joined and started training striking and grappling and jiu-jitsu. I quickly found out that I didn't care so much for being punched to the face, so I didn't do the striking so much and just focused on grappling and jiu-jitsu, which I enjoyed tremendously more. In fact, I continued doing it after I came back and still do jiu-jitsu to this day. But back then, I was still a white belt, and after a few months of training, I'm not sure exactly how much it was, but I signed up for a tournament in Sapporo, which is the capital city of Hokkaido. It's the biggest one. And I trained, I got all the gear. I had to get regulation gear. I think it had to like fit within certain standards, and I had help decoding and making sure that all my gear was within standards. And I trained all the moves I could. You know, there's only so much you can learn in a short amount of time, but you try to learn, you know, if they put their foot here, you'd move that way. If you go this way, you try to do this thing next. And I had that all in me. I was super nervous. I'm not a competitive person. I haven't competed a ton since then because I get full of anxiety and nerves, and it's just usually not my favorite thing to do. So, but this, I was trying new stuff and I was doing new things. I was in Japan, so here I was competing in a jiu-jitsu tournament in Sapporo. So I paid my 7,000 yen, I got all my regulation gear, and trained as much as I could, you know, and then on the big day, drove down to Sapporo, got ready. I think my coach and some other gym mates who were competing were there too. Got dressed up, got on the scales, weighed in, and I'm a pretty big guy. I'm 6'1", and I was, you know, I'm a stocky guy. So I weighed in, I made my weight, but I found out then, right after that, that no one else had signed up for my division, and no one else had signed up for the absolute, which was the other division I had signed up for to get more matches. So what ended up happening was, my big challenge had been to make sure that I made weight, which I did, and after that, I watched all the other divisions compete, which was great. I got to cheer for my friends. And then everyone came up, and I was called up, and I was awarded 2 gold medals, one for my weight division, which no one else was in, and one for the absolute division, which no one else was in. 2-time gold champion, 0 matches. And that was my tournament experience in Sapporo. So that was my experience with success. And I think after that, I decided to just do the training part in Japan and wait to compete until there would probably be more people in my division. All right. Bye.
My name is Joe Palermo. I was an MEF in Gunma Prefecture for 2 years, from 1982 through 1983. The success story I'm highlighting is from an event in November 2004. I teamed up with a Japanese friend of mine named Sen to create an anime convention in the Chicago area. Sen had some great connections in the Japanese business and entertainment world. I was working as part of a global team at the Nielsen Company and had a sales team based in Japan, as well as handling global marketing. Sen handled the main entertainment aspect of the event, and I was in charge of the marketing, which involved everything from laying out the vision, naming the event, creating contracts, and also getting them signed by individual dealers that would sell their products and pay us for the space. The name of the event was Anime Sound and Vision, which was inspired by the David Bowie song, Sound and Vision. We recruited local college students as volunteers and spent many Sunday evenings meeting and planning at the local Starbucks. Sen and I traveled to Japan to see an anime convention there for perspective and contrast it to what I had seen in the U.S. Our vision was to expose anime fans to as many aspects of Japanese culture as possible. This was, in a sense, a type of bait and switch. People came for the anime, but they learned so much about Japanese culture in the process and loved it. For example, we had a traditional tea ceremony session led by my wife, whose mother taught the tea ceremony in Japan, but that was followed by a Gothic Lolita tea party. I had no idea what that was, but I was told that girls would spend many hours sewing their own Gothic Lolita costumes and people would take photos of them drinking tea. Okay, great. Together, Sen and I secured the ballroom along with several breakout rooms at the Crown Plaza O'Hare Hotel in Rosemont, Illinois, near the airport. In a traditional anime convention, there is usually a separate dealer's room where the anime merchandise is sold. At the time, I also had an online company called Japanimation City as a side business that sold original anime cells, so I knew all about the dealer's rooms since I had sold many things through them. The problem was that the dealers themselves never were able to see the entertainment or other events that were held in the main room, as they were located in a separate room of their own. Attendees would also miss out on some of the entertainment when they had to leave in order to purchase merchandise. My idea was to change this dynamic. Within the main ballroom, I set up 28 separate spaces along 2 walls that we sold to the dealers. In this way, people could shop during breaks in the entertainment and the dealers could see the show. Of course, I took the prime corner spot for Japanimation City, but I had my high school age son run it. Our main attraction was an acting group of sword fighting specialists called Kamui. This was led by Tetsuro Shimaguchi, who choreographed the duel in the snow fight scene in the movie Kill Bill. He also played one of the crazy 88 characters in the film, and impressively, had Lucy Liu on speed dial. We also had a local group called the Penny Lane All-Stars from a Japanese karaoke bar that performed pop songs from the 80s. Contrasting this, we featured Sally Suzuki, who had studied traditional Japanese dance since the age of 3 at the Mizuki Dance School, one of the oldest dance schools in Japan. She had performed at the National Theater in Japan before moving to Chicago. She performed many traditional dances in beautiful kimono, along with her top student who traveled here from Japan. She also conducted sessions on kimono hair and makeup. There were many breakout rooms, with some going 24/7, featuring anime gaming and videos. The final event was a cosplay and art competition, judged by Hiroaki Inoue, who was a producer from AIC Studio and worked on many shows such as Bubblegum Crisis, Tenchi Muyo, AD Police, and many others. He also gave a talk, autograph session, and panel. The event was quite unusual, and we drew about 500 participants as well as some press coverage. Everyone had a great time, but that was the last time we held it, as it was so much work.
I am here to tell you about a story of success when I was on the JET program, and I had to think very hard to try to think of one, but I think I've got one for you. My name is Scott Alperin, and I was an IT prefecture from 1992 to 1995. Boy, that sounds like a long time ago. At that time, I was just out of college, didn't really cook for myself. I still don't, but. And I was so lucky to have met this substitute teacher at this school, Kadia High School, which is a suburb of Nagoya. Akiko was her name, and she wanted a native speaker to come to her house and speak to her family, and she would provide a lot of good food for this to happen. And I felt so lucky to be invited to meet her family, and on a regular basis, all I had to do was speak English, which I was highly not qualified to do, other than I just speak English. Then her son, who was in junior high school, had a speech contest, and I was recruited to be his coach. And I knew deep down that my access to all this delicious Japanese food was dependent on him doing well in the speech contest. And so, week after week, we hammered away at his theme, which I believe was international friendship, something really special like that. And we worked on our ERs, we worked on our Ls, we worked on our Rs. You know, it was like boot camp. And at the end of the day, Hirofumi did it. He won the contest, and this ensured that I would continue to eat delicious Japanese food for the ensuing 2 years I was in Japan. Thank you, Hirofumi, for working so hard, and thank you to Stephen for asking me to tell you this story of success.
This is Stephen Horowitz. I was an Aichi Ken Kariyashi from 1992 to 1994. My success story is the time that I accidentally and inadvertently won a Shōdenji Kenpo tournament in my town. It happened because I had decided I wanted to learn some sort of martial art while I was on JET. And at some point I noticed some people doing what I thought was karate behind my apartment in this little tiny, is it an otera or a jinjo? I can't remember which one. Anyway, this little temple behind my place, I would see the guys doing it. So I went down one time and asked if I could join. And they said, sure. They didn't really speak any English, and my Japanese wasn't very good at the time. But they were like, sure. And the first thing I noticed is that they all had the Nazi swastika on their gis. And then I learned that that's actually the sign of a temple, of a Shinto temple, and not a Nazi swastika. So, and then I got one of those too. And so I kept practicing with them. It was like two or three times a week. And it was fun, and it was kind of grueling, and I enjoyed sending home videos of myself to my Jewish parents, getting to see their son in his Nazi swastika uniform, practicing fighting. I don't think I was ever really very good, but I enjoyed doing it and getting to know the guys. I later learned that some of them were low-level Yakuza types. But I had no idea at the time, and they were all nice to me. And at night, they would, the ramen truck in the cold weather would pull up like right next to the dojo. So we didn't even have to step outside, and we would have ramen in there on cold nights sometimes. And one day the sensei said to me that I was going to start practicing for some sort of thing, kata. I didn't quite get what it was, but it was something sort of like a routine, like a dance. So I started working with Tsuyoshi, one of the other guys there, and we started, you know, they'd show us a series of moves, and we'd practice doing it a bunch of times. And then later they'd add another move, and then after a while we had a whole routine. It was like learning a dance routine, except we were punching and trying to punch and kick each other. Tsuyoshi was crazy, to say the least. Really nice to me, but and a very strong guy. But he, the more I learned about him, he had some stories, just some things that I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That sounds kind of scary. And eventually, I think he, like a year later, I checked in and he had disappeared. He had just run away and nobody knew where he went. And Tsuyoshi was also the one that introduced me to mixed martial arts fighting. He lent me a videotape at the time when those were still a thing. And it was like the first ever, whatever it was, UFC or mixed martial arts fight before the whole thing got started. Anyway, so we would always practice together. And then finally the day came for the tournament. And it turned out it was at one of the junior high schools where I taught. I was on the weekend. And so there I was in my Shorinji Kenpo Gi. And I'm, you know, I'm watching all these other kids and stuff do stuff. And some of them recognize me and they're like, oh, sensei. And I have no idea who they are because I travel around I rotate between the schools. So I don't recognize most of the kids, and they're all wearing white gis anyway. And everybody looks really good. You know, they all look like they know what they're doing. You know, really sharp, quick, tight moves and everything. And I'm feeling very self-conscious about it. And then it's my turn to do it with Tsuyoshi. And the first thing I realize is that Tsuyoshi is going full tilt. He is punching and kicking as hard as he can. So at one point, I know he's going to kick at my head, and I put up my arm like I'm supposed to block it, but he still kicks me in the head. So now I'm fighting for my life with every punch and kick that he's throwing. And I, you know, I don't think I was especially good at it. But I made it through, and I was proud of myself for that. And then at the end, though, when they announced the winner, we were announced as the winners, and they said it was because we were honki, I think was the term. Like, it was like true spirit or serious fighting. Like we were doing it with passion. And of course, I was doing it with passion only in reaction to Tsuyoshi in an effort to protect myself. But I was given a trophy, and we won our division of the Shorinji Kenpo Kata part of the tournament. So and there you go. And that's how I don't think I was by any means the best fighter out there or the best form, but I won, and that was a success, I guess. Also, I later realized that Shorinji Kenpo is cognate with Shaolin, like Shaolin style kung fu, I guess. And I visited the Shorinji Kenpo temple, the main temple in somewhere in Shikoku, and I realized it looks like one of those places in like a Bruce Lee movie, like a Shaolin temple where like the bad guy has his lair and all his bad dudes who fight. And then it finally came together. But I did Shorinji Kenpo for all that time and had no idea like what this was or where it came from. Anyway, that's my success.
And that's the end of our submitted recordings. Thank you to everyone who submitted this time for our theme of success. I hope you all enjoyed the recorded stories, and I think a great way to end these stories is with my own personal success story. When we chose this theme, I actually thought of the story that brought me here right now, hosting this podcast. So a couple months ago, while job hunting, I filled out a form for the JetWit Career Group. If you haven't done that or don't know what I'm talking about, it's a Google form for a career group run by a couple of alumni where you fill out a few responses, for example, your career field interests and your location, and someone from the group reviews it and tries to connect you with other alumni near you or in your desired career path. As I've learned, it's great for making connections of any kind. Anyways, I filled out this form. I marked that I was interested in media. And soon after, I received an email from Stephen Horowitz saying that he's always looking for help on the podcast. And so here we are. I am normally a video editor and had never done podcasts before, so I was really excited, and I still am, about this new hobby of mine. And it's a great opportunity to kind of build my portfolio. So shout out to Stephen and the JetWit group. And thank you all for being my podcast test dummies as I try my hand at a new medium. This time around, we received a lot fewer submissions than last time, and I was guessing that's because us Jets are very humble people and don't want to brag too much on our successes. But I want to encourage you all to share your stories and successes so we can celebrate together. I will now announce the theme for the next episode, which is adventure. So start thinking, writing, recording, etc., and get us your stories about adventure that you experienced during your time on Jet. Or maybe an adventure that was post-Jet, but was somehow related to your Jet experience. I'm looking forward to hearing some interesting travel stories, unique cultural experiences, or really whatever adventure means to you. You can submit them by email to me or Stephen Horowitz. I will put our emails in the description. You can also upload it directly if you are recording to the Google Drive folder, which I will also link. We also gather posts from Facebook, so whichever way you prefer, I'm sure that we will get your story somehow. Thank you for listening. Thank you again for those who submitted for this episode of the Mothra Storytelling Hour. And thank you in advance for your future submissions. Oh, and thank you for bearing with me on my hiatus as I moved across the country. I hope you enjoyed listening, and I hope you will come back next time for our adventure episode. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Jetosphere podcast, a production of JetWit.com. Special thanks to USJetAA and Claire for their support.